Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech coming up today in the Birmingham Bowl. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes on the program. So, Joe, the Titans, as we sit here today, wondering what the future looks like at quarterback, be that a veteran quarterback, be that in the draft, and we've talked about that plenty already on the show. Another team in the AFC South that I am very curious to see what their plan is at quarterback is the team the Titans just saw in the Indianapolis Colts. So let's just kind of break it down how it's gone with Anthony Richardson. It is a different situation than what we saw from Will Levis. Anthony Richardson was the fourth overall pick. So a little bit of a difference when you're the fourth overall pick and when you're drafted in the high in the second round. So there's that to keep in mind with this whole discussion. Richardson was benched for two games this year in favor of Joe Flacco, and then they promptly went back to Anthony Richardson. So they benched him, moved back right into it. We discussed that at the time and how weird it was when it happened. His numbers, quite frankly, are terrible. Like, he's completed 47.7% of his passes, which is just awful in the NFL. He's thrown for 1,800 yards, 8 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Obviously, we know that he can be a threat in the running game. The Titans just found that out. But, I mean, look, the Colts just put up 38 points, and he completed 7 passes in a game. So, congratulations to the Tennessee Titans for letting something like that happen. Joe, as you evaluate what we've seen from Anthony Richardson to this point, his career numbers, when you factor in last year as well, he's right around 50% completion percentage for his career, 2,300 yards, 11 touchdowns, 13 picks. What do you, how do you view that situation in Indy with Richardson, with Chris Ballard, Shane Steichen? Where do you think this goes from here?
It's a great question. I would have to think that it goes into next year. I mean, because, you know, those guys, Ballard in particular, they're, I mean, to me, they have to be tied to their status. Job status has to be tied to him. And I still, you know, again, you got a rookie year that's washed away almost entirely by injury after he played like one high school year and one college year. And the Colts, I think, completely screwed it up by just going with him. Then they did the benching thing, which I thought was terrible, but they, I mean, you know, it seemed to maybe be a spark as he came back this year. But the bottom line is he's played now basically a season of football, right? Between the benching and the injury last year, he has played now a season of high school, a season of college, and a season of pro. Doesn't mean I'm optimistic that it's all going to come together for him, but I wouldn't give up yet. I mean, especially when you invested that pick. So I think it just, to me, it's like 2025 is, that's the year of evaluation. That's the, okay, either he's going to really start raising his level of play and his efficiency, and it's going to come together for him, or you have to start looking around and you probably, I mean, I don't know. I've thought Ursay was going to fire Ballard a few times, and he hasn't. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know if we've got like some compromising photos somewhere involved in this story or what. I don't know. But, I mean, if this goes the way it looks like it's going, then it's hard for me to see Ballard still being there. But regardless, you know, the future of the franchise from the Colts, you can't make that call, I don't think, right now.
I don't think you can, but it's pretty bad. Like, 47.7% completion percentage this year is awful. Like, it's awful. Like, I don't even really know how you do that in today's NFL. Like, to be that inaccurate with the ball, I don't know how that's possible. Like, with the amount of checkdowns and screen passes that you throw in today's game, like, that should get you to 50% right there, Joe. Like, I don't understand it. I really don't. So, I mean, I think because of where he was drafted, you probably have to go one more year. Now, having said that, I mean, we've seen quarterbacks that get given up on way earlier than they used to. I mean, look, Bryce Young got benched this year too. Now, he's come back and started to play well. So, my guess is he's probably going to be the quarterback for Carolina next year, and then they'll see what that looks like. I guess that's what you do with Anthony Richardson too. But he's got to get a lot better. Like, it's not just that he's got to make incremental improvements. He's got to get a lot better for them to feel good about where they're headed with him as quarterback. So, look, they're kind of in similar discussion with some of these other teams we talk about when it comes to their owner. Sometimes he can be a little wacky, and we don't really know what's going to happen there. But I would assume that this whole thing is coming back for another year, and you just see where you go from there. I'm pretty stunned, even as raw as he was coming out of college, and we talked about that at the time. To me, it made no sense to play him out of the gate, and they did it. As raw as he was coming out of college, it's stunning to me how inaccurate he is with the football.
Yeah, and that history tells us that you just most people you just there's only so much you can do about that. But you know, like you mentioned Bryce Young, you think about the difference in like, and I've been stunned, obviously. I'm a Bryce Young homer all the way. I mean, I never thought there'd be any struggles for him. And I still think if he was in a better situation, he could have hit the ground running as a rookie. But think about how different those two were in terms of like just overall readiness. And I mean, Bryce Young was a polished, you know, at Stroud too, accurate, you know, commanding an offense quarterback coming in the NFL, and Richardson just wasn't at all, you know. But yeah, I mean, to your point, just missing. I mean, I saw him in person, and he had bad numbers, and I thought he played really well. He had some drops, and just I mean, like he had bad luck on the day I saw, and I was like, man, you can see it with this guy. There's a lot of man, you can see it, and then every game you'll have a handful of players. You're like, geez. You know, like that throw or that, you know, that run, you know, I mean, he's a weapon, but yes, if the accuracy can't improve dramatically, you're just not going to be efficient enough in today's game. So I would say it doesn't look great. I mean, if you're a Colts fan, you have to be really concerned about where this is heading, but I'd also, as a Colts fan, I would not want the plug pulled right now.
You know how these Colts fans operate, right? Like they're already looking ahead to Arch. I've seen a lot of, well, had a great run with Peyton. Didn't last as long as we wanted to with Andrew Luck. But we really can't wait for Arch to get in here and to be the next guy. A lot of Arch talk that I've seen from Colts fans.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I imagine there's a lot of Arch talk from a lot of fan bases. The Arch Manning thing is like, I understand his family. Like, we can't just assume that he's going to be a great quarterback in the NFL, you know? I mean, Quinn Ewers is a pretty good quarterback. He's pretty good. If Arch Manning was destined to be the number one overall pick next year, would he not have surpassed Quinn Ewers' performance at this point? I feel like he might have. He comes in and he makes a great run. But if you watch him when he played his full, you know, or played, you know, like the game and a half of this year, I mean, he's got a lot of work to do, man. I don't know that he's going to be great. But his name is Arch Manning, so I get it.
Noted Arch Manning hater, Joe Rexroad, stepping up to the plate.
I feel bad for him because, seriously, like, there's no – if he's not the number one pick and not, like, a Pro Bowler in year two, then what a disappointment because of his last name.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and again, like – everybody keeps assuming that he's coming out in the 26th draft. I mean, none of his family has done that, has come out without staying their entire allotment of college. So, look, that doesn't guarantee that he does. Like, maybe he starts for Texas next year, and he just rolls through everything, wins the Heisman, they win the national championship, and it's clear that he's NFL ready, and he goes. I'm not going to say that can't happen. I'm just saying, like, they tend to be the kind of family that I think operates under the idea of, yeah, we'll sit here and develop as long as it takes, and then when it's time to go to the NFL, it's time to go to the NFL. Like, it could be 27 before he's out.
No, I think that's my guess, is it's 27. And my guess is that next year's performance, by halfway through the year, we'll all be like, oh, yeah, okay, so he's not instantly snap your fingers, he's the number one pick. I think that's exactly where it's heading. Quickly on the text line from Gunner, he said, when I was talking about Rourke, he thought I was going to say Cade Klubnik from Clemson. That's another guy who has been playing well. I don't think he's coming out, though. I think Cade Klubnik and Clemson will be back together next year. That's my guess. And, you know, I mean, he's gotten better. There's no doubt. I mean, I think he's some level of prospect. You know, we'll see how much. Ed asked, if the Titans get Aaron Rodgers, will I go to camp? If I'm low on hallucinogens, yes, Ed. I absolutely will.
We know a guy. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Vanderbilt taking on Georgia Tech today in the Birmingham Bowl. We'll look at that matchup and throw this question out there. What does this year mean for Clark Lee and the Vanderbilt football program moving forward? Can they sustain this? Can they build on this? We'll get into all that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune in to 1025, 1063, the game today for Vanderbilt football, presented by Prince's Hot Chicken. The Commodores taking on Georgia Tech in the Birmingham Bowl. Pregame at 1 o'clock, kickoff at 2:30. Coverage also available on the 1025 The Game app. And at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex. Joe, I said it yesterday. I am legitimately excited for a bowl game that's not the college football playoff. I am excited to watch Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt. I think it's got a chance to be a really good game. I think the way that those two teams have played this year, the style of play that they have, is going to be a lot of fun to watch them square off against each other. And I am looking forward, legitimately and excitedly, to the Birmingham Bowl coming up today at 2:30. Your thoughts on this matchup for Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech?
I'm with you. Should be a lot of fun. Also, should be like a three-hour game. I mean, I think both of these teams are going to have success offensively, have drives that chew up clock and run the football. And so I think we might actually get, college football keeps trying, it claims, to shorten these games. And I think these two teams are going to give us just like, you know, the NFL is like a freaking clockwork, you know. Now, granted, last night's game, I wish, and not that I watch it, but I wish it was a half hour long. It should not have been 3 hours, but
40 seconds,
Yeah. Just give us the highlights of Caleb Williams falling down and dreaming of being somewhere else other than Chicago. But no, I'm excited for this. This should be a fun matchup, and I'll be very interested to see, you know, like how excited. That are Vanderbilt fans. How have Vanderbilt fans traveled there? I saw some footage last night of Clark Lee getting them riled up at a pep rally. So, you know, he's out there getting them going. I think that Vanderbilt fans should be very excited. And it's even more exciting that, you know, to think that, Pavia is coming back. But Haynes King, also a really fun guy to watch on the other side.
Yep, no doubt about that. Obviously, this was a very successful season for Vanderbilt. You get to the postseason, you're 6-6, you're playing in a bowl game for the first time in the Clark Lee era. You take down Alabama earlier this year. There's a lot to like. Now, you didn't necessarily finish the year the way that you wanted to. You know, the loss to South Carolina at home, you were never really in that game. Tennessee, you got off to a great start, and then the Vols came kind of roaring back and got some separation in that one. So you didn't end the season the way that you wanted to, but it's still a successful year for Vanderbilt in that program. I guess the big question moving forward here is, what does that mean now? Like, is what Clark Lee and this coaching staff pulled off this year, is it sustainable? Can you build on that? And what's going to be the same schedule next year, right? Like, it's the same conference schedule they've got. You're just flipping where you're playing those games. So it's going to be another difficult schedule for Vanderbilt next year in the conference. Can you build on that? Can they continue to take the positive momentum from this year and add to their roster and be a better football team next year? Obviously, Joe, getting Pavia back is a huge part of that, and that's a big win for them. I'm really interested to see where Clark Lee can take this from here after a year that really nobody saw coming. It was really cool to see. Now, what can you do with it if you're Clark Lee?
Yeah, and it looks like they've already had some success here in the portal. By the way, shout out to my son's friend and former teammate at Nolensville High. Chance Fitzgerald, transfer from Virginia Tech, coming back home.
Yes.
Good job. Good job by Vanderbilt getting him. I mean, they need some playmaking at receiver, and I think he's going to help. And they got some help on defense. So, you know, it's hard to always know with some of these guys, but it's the second straight year where it's pretty clear that they've got the investment. They feel like, I mean, I'm sure just about every coach would be like, I'll take another 10 mil, please. You know, but they've got a level of investment to where they can keep adding to this roster and become more competitive. Look, I know from talking to people over there, they think that with everything they have going for them, you know, obviously the facilities are now coming together and they're no longer an eyesore or an embarrassment over there. The donors are energized. Clark Lea has flipped the narrative for sure on his own coaching tenure. Obviously the last offseason, there was a stroke of genius what he did, even though at the time it was like, really? That's what you're going to do? And it turned out like they feel like they can get to themselves to the point of being a playoff contender, of having a chance to get into the 12-team playoff at some point. I know that, you know, that sounds laughable to some. I also noticed on Message Board Geniuses the other day that they had somebody was like on some Texas A&M site was like, well, Stanford and Harvard are about to win every national title because they have all these billionaire alums. Bye. We're screwed.
Yes, get ready.
Yeah, you can look at it however you want. But look, in this era right now, Texas Tech is destroying everyone in the portal. They're the number one class. They're getting all the – they got like USC's awesome freshman running back. Like they're killing. And it's they've got a donor who is very public who's out there like, yeah, man, let's go. Michigan, you know, they've got a billionaire whose wife is a Michigan alum. He's an Illinois alum. He's like, yep, all right, here's a few mil. Let's go call Dave Portnoy and get ourselves – Bryce Underwood and screw over Brian Kelly. I mean, these are the things that are happening now. Vanderbilt's got some rich people, guys.
Okay?
They got some rich people. And so I just – you got to keep showing them that success and progress. But I mean, there's so much more energy and excitement around that program, way more than I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. And again, like getting Pavia back specifically for next year's team – it's a huge deal, right? Like, you know, Nate Johnson went in the portal, and to get Pavia back, not only with the way that he played, but I just think the personality that he brings to that group is a big deal. Like, you talk about being a leader that people kind of feed off of. I mean, he's that, right? And look, he's not the most talented guy in the world. Like, I don't know, you know, what his NFL future is going to look like. I don't know if he's going to have an NFL future, which is, I think, a big reason why he's doing what he's doing right now. But clearly, he's a huge weapon for them. He was banged up at the end of the year. How much did that limit him? I don't know. I'm sure it did some. But, like, getting him back in the fold for next year, you feel great about your quarterback spot. And I've always said it. I said it heading into the year last year. Vanderbilt had to figure out quarterback. They had struggled so much with all the other struggles that they had. They could not nail down a quarterback. That was my biggest criticism of Clark Lea heading into the season last year. And then they did, and they did to a level in which none of us saw coming, and we saw what a difference it made. So to have that and know that heading into this offseason, number one, how much does that help you maybe attract some guys in the portal that maybe you otherwise wouldn't have? And number two, like just knowing what a big game type of player he is, that's a big weapon for them heading into next year.
No question. And I'm also just today, to your point on the injuries, I'm very interested to see if today he looks like a different Pavia. You go back and watch him and how he was running the ball in first half of the year versus the second half. I mean, the kid's tough because, I mean, that Kentucky game, he could barely walk and then he's going out there running plays. And I just don't think he ever fully – and I don't know if now he will have, but I bet you there's a little bit more burst. I got a texter, Robbie, who says, absolutely delusional if you believe Vandy will ever make a playoff. This texter is texting us this in the year that we just saw Indiana play in the freaking college football playoff. By the way, we still have Arizona State, Boise ahead. SMU also played. Are you kidding me, dude?
I understand. Now, I also understand the standpoint of Vanderbilt football history. It's nuts to think about that, but it's a new era, man. Like, it's just
Indiana is the losingest team ever. They are the worst program in Division I history. They made the playoff. You can't. It's such a dumb comment.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Your thoughts on Vanderbilt, the year that they've had to this point? They're going to finish either 7-6 or 6-7. Can they build on it? And how big of a deal is having Pavia back for this group next season? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, the Rob rant coming up here in about 12 to 13 minutes. I've got a message for some of Vault Twitter, Joe, which is always dangerous territory to go after, but I need to after some of the stuff I've seen over the last few days. I look forward to this.
Okay, I do too. Now, I will say that I'm kind of going back and forth with a Vol fan on this Indiana thing. Again, like, I would not, sitting here today, predict to anyone that Vanderbilt will be in a playoff. But, I mean, I don't see how you could look at this year and say, that'll never happen. This year should disqualify that from ever leaving someone's lips. This person said, it came back to me and said, Indiana, one of the easiest schedules in the country, got blown out by the two good teams they played. Vandy and the SEC will never get a schedule as favorable as Indiana did. I pointed out, well, first of all, Indiana was more competitive at Ohio State than Tennessee was. I mean, that's an even game, and they drop a punt at the end of the first half. So there's that. And, yes, Indiana absolutely got schedule breaks this year. But look at Texas's schedule in the SEC this year. I mean, there will be SEC teams that will have way easier schedules than some SEC teams do, and we may not realize it, right, until we didn't know Oklahoma would suck this year, right?
Right.
We didn't know Vanderbilt would be decent this year. Like, so, but as seasons play out, there will absolutely be teams that get and we'll look at it and say, oh my God, look at who they missed. They missed A, B, C, and D. This team played A, B, C, and D. How could we even consider this the same league? It'll happen in the SEC too. The SEC is way better than Big Ten, way deeper. So I agree that there's less chance of like a schedule where it's like, holy cow, that's nothing but cake. But no, the mega leagues will continue to produce this crap.
It will, for sure. Now, it's probably not happening next year for Vanderbilt, because you're going to have to go to Alabama, to Texas. And by the way, to Tennessee as well. So probably not happening next year.
Enjoy.
Yeah, have some of that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Right. Like, the flip side is Vanderbilt might have a team that's good enough, and they might have five losses because of the schedule, too. Exactly. I mean, so, you know, but the idea that it could never line up is, you just can't make that proclamation.
No, like, the leagues are too big. You know, we were talking about this yesterday. The leagues are too big, and it's not going backwards at this point. Like, it is what it is. But a lot of the problems or things that you want to trace back in college sports right now, and specifically college football, the playoff, all these things, the leagues are too big. Like, when you start to expand the way that they are, and it's led to some great football games. Like, you know, in the long run, Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC is going to be a great thing for the conference. And I understand why they did it. I understand why Greg Sankey wanted to make it happen. And, you know, yet basically every team out west is now a member of the Big Ten as well. And, you know, the traditional matchup of USC and Rutgers, I'm looking forward to every year. But the conferences are too big, and it's not going to change anytime soon. But there's going to be imbalanced scheduling. And that's what made, like, you know, people are all over Kirk Herbstreit right now for some of the things he said as it relates to the schedule, and there's some infighting going on at ESPN, apparently, between him and Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharpe, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, don't mess with Shannon Sharpe, my goodness.
Apparently not. He's going to have people coming after you. But, like, there's imbalanced schedule. Like, when you have conferences that are this big, and particularly when you also, in addition to that, Joe, get rid of the divisions, like, there's going to be some years where you look at it and you say, well, wow, it's 2045 and Tennessee's playing – Georgia, Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, all in a row, and Florida. How about that? And, oh, look over here. Mississippi State's playing Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Kentucky, South Carolina, like it's just going to work out to where it's a really weird schedule, and somebody is going to get the crap end of the stick one year, and somebody's going to be looking great with their schedule, and the challenge is going to be the committee having to determine that and making decisions on that moving forward.
Yeah, and that's where, one, you got to get rid of just the conference. This conference, again, because we heard so much of that this year. I totally agree. Of course, top to bottom, the SEC is the best league. There's no question. But look at who did Texas beat, you know? And that never swayed the committee, by the way.
Never.
I
mean,
the committee just apparently, I don't know, Ward Manuel's like, guys, I swear, Michigan's really good. Seriously, that was an awesome win by Texas. Trust me, I don't know. I don't know why Texas got the respect it did. Now, when they went and won at Texas A&M, even though it ended up not being a ranked win, that to me, that helped, like in my mind, you know, that's still to me, that's a rivalry game at night. It's a talented team that said something, but until then, holy crap, they did nothing to earn their ranking. So, I mean, then we can get in the committee and all that stuff too. But yeah, every year, like what league you're in is just who you played. And I do hope that, you know, because look, Indiana, another thing about Indiana is they had a weak non-league. They played nobody in their non-league. Now they have 9 Big Ten games, and that does matter. I mean, that means that you're open to that. There's potential for 9 tough games. They didn't get it, but there's potential for that, whereas the SEC only has 8. But, you know, the idea that any of this is going to result in team scheduling weaker, that's exactly the opposite of what the whole idea is. So that's something to keep in mind here. You know, and that's not, by the way, Kurt Cignetti who did that. That's his predecessor who got rid of the Louisville game. They would have beat Louisville by double digits this year, and they would have been way better off had that game been played. But, of course, it wasn't.
Yeah. Here's the other thing that, like, when we're talking next step for Vanderbilt, of the most surprising results in college football this year, Joe, there's a lot to sift through. It was a wild year in college football. You know, Northern Illinois taking down Notre Dame is probably at the top of the list. Somewhere on the list, and I'm not exactly sure where, but like Vanderbilt losing to Georgia State is somewhere on that list. Like, it's still inexplicable to me that happened this year. And it, like we talk about taking the next step. Like, they got a nice win against Virginia Tech. They're going to Virginia Tech next year, so as a part of the home and home. Georgia State's coming here, so make sure you take care of business against Georgia State next year.
Jeez.
But like Utah State, Georgia State, Virginia Tech, Charleston Southern is their non-conference schedule next year. Like, find a way to go 4-0. Go 4-0 in those games, and then see what you can do with the rest of your conference schedule. But, like, you know, does it make a huge difference at the end of the day if they win the Georgia State game? Probably not. But, like, yeah, stop dropping those games. Like, that's the next step for Vanderbilt as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing. When that happened, it was like, okay, so it's just going to be more of the same, and Virginia Tech is a 3-9 team. You know, that's what I, you know, at the time, it's like, oh, God.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, they do some amazing stuff during conference play, but no question, you got to be able to handle those teams that you have to beat.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule next year. I mean, they got South Carolina early. They get South Carolina as their first conference game on the road. That one could be a doozy. I mean, that, in all, you know, my hatred of Shane Beamer aside, they could be a pretty good team next year. So, I mean, you got a conference game out of the gate that's challenging if you're Vanderbilt. They're on the road at South Carolina, on the road at Alabama, on the road at Texas, on the road at Tennessee in your conference games next year. Good yeah. Lord.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, like, you know, it was cool at Pavia. Someone on the text line has pointed out, you know, the NCAA is appealing. I said, yes, we do know the NCAA is appealing. We also know the NCAA's courtroom record in this millennium. But,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, Pavia, when he, you know, put out a statement when he got the injunction, you know, I want to play in January next year. And it's like, that's an awesome thing to say. Awesome thing to have as a goal. This is not the schedule, I don't think. Now, you know, look, maybe some of these teams will be way different than we think, you know,
yeah.
but South Carolina, I do believe, is a potential contender next year. And Lenora Sellers is probably my Heisman favorite going into the year. So,
well,
that's
got
a toughie to start with.
Who knows what's going to happen? Like, who's playing quarterback for Alabama next year? I mean, if you ask some on Vol Twitter, it's about to all fall apart with Tennessee. So there's that to keep in mind as well. Schedule could end up breaking for Vanderbilt.
Hey, I mean, yeah, some of those teams. But seriously, like, I don't know how good Alabama's going to be. I mean, my goodness, Kalen DeBoer, how the hell do you miss the 12-team playoff in your first year? You know, I mean, with what you had coming back. So some of these teams will – yeah, like we have a lot of questions and a lot to find out. Arch Manning, like I said earlier, I mean he's a great athlete. He's a talented guy. Is he gonna come in and all of a sudden be superstar All American quarterback? I don't know that.
I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to find out. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. The Rob Rant is coming up next. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's Best Deal from the Academy in Goodlettsville. More than just a training space, here every class is a journey into the art of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu taught by their dedicated instructors. They got a state-of-the-art facility that offers everything from muscle recovery services to top-tier training equipment. Go to GameNashville.com/deals. Get $150 a month of unlimited classes for just $75. Once again, that's GameNashville.com/deals. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm just sick and tired of our guys getting smashed down there. Smashed! Oh, just, we'll get ready to play Tennessee. We're incredibly outmanned at the end. Had four guys on the bench in foul trouble. Joke!
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. That Bruce Pearl clip will never get old. It's just good stuff. I wonder what he said when they were fighting each other on the plane this year. Did we have something similar?
That's a good question. Maybe he was actually, calm, chill Bruce. You know, saves it for the refs in the post game interview about the refs. Yeah. How has no audio surfaced from the Auburn plane fight?
I mean, that's probably been the highlight of the year so far. We got to get in there. Got to get some investigative journalism going on. See if we can get some of that. All right. So, Joe, as you know, I'm a Vols fan. Vol Twitter. I'm in some ways a part of you. Not necessarily the deep roots of Vol Twitter, because that gets to be a scary place at times. But I am a part of you to some degree. And I've just got a message for some of you that we got to stop with some of the lunacy going on here. You know, I think Tennessee fans sometimes unfairly get singled out for being a little crazy and being a little out there. You know, when you have gigantic fan bases, which Tennessee is one of those, you're going to have some people in those fan bases that are a little bit much. There's no doubt. I mean, you'll find it with Ohio State. You'll find it with Michigan. I mean, just look around. You'll find some of that. You know, in the immediate aftermath of the loss to Ohio State, I saw some of this after the game in terms of, well, Heupel's not it. Heupel's not the guy. And I thought, okay, well, you're frustrated. It's in the immediate aftermath of a game. Tweet through it, and then we'll get back to normal conversation next week. Well, it's been almost a week now, and I still had some conversation coming across my screen yesterday, Joe, on the depths of Vol Twitter about how Tennessee has reached their peak as a program under Josh Heupel, how they need to go ahead and move on and get out while the talent's good and bring in another coach. And I guess my thought process here is just, are you guys morons? Like, are you morons? Is Josh Heupel ever going to win a national championship at Tennessee? I have no idea. I mean, the likelihood is probably not. I mean, it just statistically, probably not going to. Could he? Maybe. Like this year, regardless of how disappointing it was getting your doors blown off by Ohio State, this year I would think unquestionably a success. Like, you made the college football playoff for the first time. I realize it's 12 teams now, and it's a little bit easier to do than it used to be, but you made the college football playoff. You still have some pretty good recruiting going on. Yes, they've lost some guys in the transfer portal. Look, this is a problem, I think, in college football in general. Like, the playoff teams and the portal going on at the same time is not really a good combination. Like, it's not, I think they've got to find a better system for this in terms of when the portal becomes available. The problem is, I just don't know how you do that moving forward here. So it's a problem, right now in college football. And yeah, they've lost some guys. They're going to add some in the portal too. They're going to get some offensive linemen in. I would assume they're going to go look for a wide receiver or two in the portal. So on that front, let's just kind of wait and see what the picture looks like when it's complete before we make a judgment on the transfer portal stuff. And number two, do you realize where you've been as a program the last 20 years? Like, do you realize that? I understand. Like, you want to win a national championship. I got it. I'm right there with you. Is Josh Heupel going to be the guy to do that? I don't know. Like, maybe the 12-team playoff is his ceiling, and maybe he's never going to actually be, like, in the semis or in the championship game competing for a championship. I don't know. Like, to sit here and act like you know that now is asinine. Like, they've been building ever since he got here. This was his fourth year. The program was in shambles when he took over. There were all kinds of recruiting restrictions. The last staff was abysmal. You won 11 games his second year. You got to the college football playoff in his fourth year. You've got a quarterback that, while he probably didn't play as well this year as many hoped, I think we kind of saw that some of the expectations for him coming into this year were completely unrealistic. Like, there's a lot to like about Josh Heupel and the job that he's done. And I know that I'm probably speaking to a minority of Tennessee fans here who are feeling this way, but let's try to be a little bit smarter in some of these discussions here. No, it's not time to move on from Josh Heupel after they lost in the first round of the freaking 12-team playoff in the first year of its existence, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a toughie. That one deserves message board geniuses if it hasn't made it already. As Nate points out on the text line, you know, so what if you get out while the talent's good? What do you think that's going to happen if he leaves? And the talent will not be good. The talent will be in the portal. Also, like, who
are you hiring?
Yeah. I mean, who, it's like, hey man, I guess if like John Gruden, you know, who did confirm that he and John Curry talked.
He did
recently I think it was like a Barstool thing. Yeah, but yeah, there's, who is it out there that's like, oh yes, that, you know, that's the ticket. Like, I think that there's a fair, like, at some point, look, I think, you know, does the ceiling become clear and it's like, okay,
maybe.
Well, it levels off and okay. I think at some point the discussion could happen.
We may get there.
We're not there yet.
No,
I mean, it's been 4 years and it's pretty incredible actually what he's done. Given he had such success so early that I think we forget how bad it was, how bad what he took over was. Like, it was a disaster of a program in the sport. Disaster. Like a running joke of a program. Yeah. And in 4 years, he's done some pretty remarkable things. So, yeah, I think he has to look at some things for sure. You know, we've talked about offensive line recruiting, defensive back recruiting, some of the position coaches, OC, DC. I mean, I think all of it deserves scrutiny this offseason. See where he can make some tough, possibly have to make some tough decisions. He makes the decisions, but a decision on him, I mean, you know, tell that to Danny White, he'd laugh at you.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think with Joey Halsley at offensive coordinator, we've talked about that earlier this week. There's some things that they've got to fix as they move forward here, if they're going to take the jump from really good team to elite team. Now, some of that also comes down to recruiting, Joe. Like, they're recruiting well. They're not recruiting like top three, top four in the country well. Now, how important is that now compared to what it was 5 years ago? Probably not as important because you can add in the portal, but it's still pretty darn important. Like, you've got to be able to recruit at a really high level. And their roster, I think we've seen, their roster has gotten to the point where it's pretty darn good. It's not elite. Like, there's still some work to do to get themselves to an elite roster. So, look, maybe this time 2-3 years from now, we're looking at it and we're saying, you know what? They have reached their ceiling. But to think that you can come to that conclusion now and, like, seriously entertain that conversation to me is laughable. And that's where, you know, for the small portion of the Tennessee fan base that is doing that right now, that's where when people reach out and call you idiots, which I think a lot of times is undeserved. This one's not undeserved. Don't be idiots about this, please.
The texter says, if every UT fan was as level-headed as Robbie, UT wouldn't be as hated as they are. Of course, this same texter last text says, does Joe think all these clowns should be fired yet, or is he still a fanboy? So I don't know whether to take this texter seriously or not. Joel says, preach, Reverend Stanley. Heupel has done wonders from where the program was at. He does have to learn some things from this and adjust. I'd like to see some offensive linemen, because that's an evaluation development position.
Yes.
And now we're at the point where, okay, it's time for some guys who can play at the high level that you've recruited. I think we're seeing some of that with DB recruiting. I got to see it offensive line recruiting. And again, like we talked about this the other day, but you know, like Mike Matthews, he needs to become a star, you know?
Yes.
That is a huge recruiting win, huge need on the outside for them. And Nico needs someone who is a terror for defenses. And, they need some of that for sure. I mean, I think they've obviously done an amazing job with their defensive front, both high school and portal. They've had great backs throughout his time. And look, if Nico is going to take a huge step, then I think next year we're talking about more than just making the 12 team, potentially.
Yeah, could be. And look, he needs to take a huge step, and that's on Heupel too, right? Like, he's got to be a part of his development. Like, Heupel has got whatever the best version of Nico is, Heupel's got to be the one that pulls him out of him. So we'll see if he can do that this offseason. Let's just try to be a little level-headed in these discussions as we move forward here. We'll have Teron Davenport with us coming up next, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get into all things Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.